Amen. If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, I'm glad that you have your notes with you. One of the reasons why I like you having these notes is the ability to go back and study this yourself. You know, Glory and I did taping yesterday that will be airing this spring. And I was sharing with her all of the outlines, talking about the outlines that we produced over all these years. We finished up at day 340. 340. We have 340 outlines on prosperity that are available on kcm.org. And, you know, you can go to the website, you can look at the picture of Glory and me because we're on this week. Click onto that and it'll take you right over to all of those outlines. Well, what I was sharing with her was that I now use those outlines as reference for sermons that I preach, the things that I'm studying, because there's such a volume of work on prosperity that's been done. And the Lord just led me to do that almost 10 years ago. Almost 10 years ago, the Lord led me to do that. And over the years, I have kept many of my notes. I've got files of notes at home. I've shared with some that when we began the church in 1993, I have these smaller binders at home that are labeled 1993, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, 94, Sunday, Wednesday. And I did that all the way through 99. Every message that I preached. So I go back to those and I feed on them. And that's why it's so important that you have these outlines to be able to study from, add your own to it. And some of you may end up preaching this at some point or another. So put it in your reference material. It's important for you to hear this because this really is a word from the Lord for us right now at the top of the year. As you will look at the title, it says, Wisdom is the principal thing for 2019. Wisdom is the principal thing for 2019. I received that in the midst of my study today. It's a wonderful thing to begin your study time praying in the Holy Ghost. And when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you start getting into the Spirit, in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, things start coming out of the Spirit. So I was walking around praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, I found myself sitting down and beginning to write this message. Before I knew it, I was sitting down, and things were coming out of heaven to earth. And the first thing that came out was, wisdom is the principal thing for 2019. With all of our getting, we are going to get wisdom. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, I've been praying over our congregation. I do that all the time. And I've just really had a sense, and it's interesting how it started connecting with this message. I just had a sense of some of your schedules and the things that are going on in your lives and the opportunities to be overwhelmed, whether it's to be overwhelmed in the financial realm, the family realm. There are those that have that are raising children and all kinds of schedules that are taking place. I think a lot of people really do sense that and feel that as we're going along. It just seems like things are happening faster and faster and faster. And the demand is so much there. You know, back when I was growing up, Sunday was church day. Sunday was church day. And there was such a quiet in the town that we were in. When we would drive to church on Sunday morning, it was just really peaceful. And it just seemed like everybody was in church. And stores were closed. Grocery stores were closed. Department stores were closed. It was just a different time. And now it's different. It's different to where you have competitive sports for children that are taking place on Sunday. You have all kinds of things. It just has all run together. And we're running at this speed of light. And we need help. We've got to have help. All of us need to have help from heaven. I need to have help. In the jobs that I'm doing right now, the responsibilities that I have, I certainly need the help of the Lord. People look at me and go, how are you doing what you're doing? I'll tell you, it's right in this word. I really look to the wisdom of God because I can't do this thing on my own. I can't run on fumes. I've got to be filled up. That's why I enjoy so much my Saturdays, because my entire Saturdays are devoted to spending that time with the Lord. And then I get to come into church and we just have a marvelous time together, just worshiping Him and glorifying Him. It helps me for the rest of the week. I've got to have that. And then for Wednesday nights, to be able to come in here and be refreshed and recharged, we need that mid-week refreshing to get through the rest of the week and to hear things that we need to hear. Way back when I was, before I was pastoring the church, and I was executive director at the time, there were times when we didn't want to come to church on Wednesday night, but we did. And one of the things that really helped us was our children, because they demanded to go to church on Wednesday night. They did not want to miss Wednesday nights. And I remember one evening, Terry and I, we had just gotten home from work, and we were seriously, seriously thinking about staying home. And Jeremy and Aubrey would not have it. They wouldn't have it. So we all got in the car. We came out here in the chapel building at the time. And I would come into the service just really kind of tired from the day. But the more I was in this atmosphere, the more charged I would get, the more inspired I would be. And by the time I left church, I was so glad that I came. There's really something about being in this atmosphere, to be able to soak up the Word of God and be able to allow it to do some things in our lives. Well, life can, as I put down in your notes here, life can get complicated. A lot going on, a lot of things happening, a lot of decisions that you and I face on a daily basis. What do I do about this? How do I handle that? Should I go here? Should we go there? What should I do for the future? All of these decisions that we have before us, and managing a household on top of that, and then working on top of that. And so whenever issues begin to pile up and pressure starts building, we should immediately think about this scripture. We should immediately look to Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, I was thinking, even driving in here tonight, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I believe that our steps are ordered by Him, and He will direct us. He will show us. He will reveal to us what to do. And there are some days, I have a little organizational system that I've been using for years. I tried going to iPad on it, and I just really like writing. So I enjoy writing, and I like paper. So I have this organizational system that I have. And there's some days I put them on little cards. Every day's on a little card. And there's some days that I look at that little card and I look at all the things that I have set before me, and then maybe things going into the evening. And I just lay my hand on that card and I say, thank you, Lord, for the strength for this day. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom that I need to be able to deal with each one of the issues that is on this card. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that there's going to be a time when I'll lay my head down on the pillow and I will go to sleep. That will happen. And He's been so faithful. He's been so faithful. And I remember times as a pastor, there was one particular day many years ago, I had two funerals to do in one day. Two funerals in one day. We had one in the morning and we had one in the afternoon. And boy, I'll tell you, the Lord helped. He really helped in both of those, because the first funeral I had to do, there was such strife and animosity between the families. They had their attorneys there. But you know what? You go into a situation like that, And Brother Copeland has taught me before, you take authority over that grief. You take authority over whatever is going on in that service, and you take command of it. You take command of it, and you tell it what it's supposed to do. So the love of God, it absolutely engulfed everyone. And by the time we left there, I mean, family were hugging each other. They were loving each other. So, but we're dealing with issues on a daily basis, things that are going on, phone calls that you might get, for those of you who are raising children, phone calls from schools, come and pick up your child. They're not feeling well. So, you know, like Terry and I, what we would have to do back in those days, we'd have to determine which one of us has the least meetings that day. And so I said, well, I've got the least going on. I'll go pick up Aubrey, or I'll go pick up Jeremy. Or if she could do it, she would do that. But that was, you know, that was really keeping up with all of that and keeping up with the activities at school. So you know what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm saying, where this is concerned. And even though we don't have children in our home anymore, just in the role of pastoring and leading the ministry and all of that, there's just a lot that's going on. And then we've got grandchildren. So there's all of that mixed in together. So as the Lord said to me, he said, life can get complicated. It can get complicated. But when our hearts are overwhelmed, we need to reach for a higher vantage place. This is point number four. When our hearts are overwhelmed, we need to reach for a higher vantage place to get a better perspective. To really get back away from the fray. I heard someone that had worked for Brother Hagin talk about not getting caught up in the fray, but just standing back from it from a higher vantage point, seeing it from a higher place. We get to a place in our lives where we're down like this and we're in the forest. We are dealing with the demons and we're fighting the good fight of faith. But sometimes you just have to back away from it and look down on it and get the wisdom of God. Hear what he wants you to do about that particular issue. And so when our hearts are overwhelmed, we reach for a higher vantage place to get a better perspective. And I'll put this up on the screen. The wisdom of God is the rock that we stand on in challenging times. Thank God for his wisdom. Thank God for his wisdom. You have the wisdom of God. We'll get into that as we go along. But you have the wisdom of God. You have direction available to you. You have all the help that you need to get done everything that you need to do with much time left over. You do. If you will walk by faith in this and begin to apply some of these things that I'm going to be sharing with you, something towards the end, especially that Brother Copeland taught me himself, was something that Brother Oral Roberts taught him, and he's passed it down to us. It's so important to know how to get a hold of all of this. I mean, it really can get to a place where it's just too much. You feel like this is too much. Too much is going on. And when you get to that place, that's the place where we dig into the wisdom of God. And he knows how to orchestrate. He knows how to pull it together. He knows how to order our steps. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. And he's got the answers for it. There's a whole team in heaven that is working on our behalf, helping us. But we really do have to get to the place where we do not say, I've got this one and I don't need his help. I've got this one. And we slip over into that. We very slowly sometimes slip away from the help of the Holy Spirit into the place where we are now carrying this. We're carrying the weight of it. And the Lord has really taught me some things about receiving help, not just from the Word, not just from him, but from others as well. And he taught me a lesson about this. One time, we had a group of people at the house and Terry sent me to get hamburgers for lunch. So, excuse me, I went to this place close by and got the hamburgers. And I looked over there and they had these popcorn in little popcorn holders. And I looked at it and the lady looked at me. She said, well, those are free. Take one. I said, oh, thank you. So I had all of these hamburgers and drinks and my popcorn. And I'm going out the door and the girl said to me, can I help you with that? I said, no, I've got it. And I had a witness in my heart that that was not the thing to say. But I kicked the door open like that. And I stepped out and I went over to my car. And so I had to unlock the car. So I put the hamburgers on top of the car and I set my popcorn over here. And there was a wind that blew. And there goes my popcorn all over Boat Club Road. It was floating down upon all the cars that were going by. And the Lord said, I sent you help. You could have still had your popcorn. If you had taken up that individual's opportunity. And I've done that since then. I really do. I receive help. And when I receive help from people, it's a practice of receiving help from heaven. Because sometimes you just can't see that kind of help. But I'm telling you, he wants to direct your steps. He wants to give you the wisdom that you need because he's got the answers to this. I don't care how complicated it is. I don't care how much of a mess you may have gotten into. There are answers, wisdom, and direction for everything you are dealing with right now. Right now. And we have to be positioned to receive it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And in Proverbs 4, we begin this about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. I need His wisdom. I need His wisdom for 2019. There are things that we have coming up before us that we've got to hear from heaven. We all have to hear from heaven in terms of decision making. And what are you going to do about this? Or what are you going to do about that? Or what's the answer for this? I want clarity. I like clarity. In my role as CEO, I'll have meetings with people and then we'll meet again because I need clarity. Did I hear you say this? Is this what you said? Is this what you were communicating? And many times I find out that it's still kind of convoluted and it's still kind of gray to where I just like to get it really clear. And when it comes to the making of decisions and the things that we face on a daily basis, I want to hear a clear word from heaven. You can hear that. You can hear that. We need to do the same thing that in 1 Kings Solomon did. He had taken over from his father, David. And he went before the Lord and he had a dream. And the Lord said, whatever you ask, I'll give you. And Solomon went before the Lord and he said, I have now taken over from my father, David. And I'm but a child. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. I'm new at this. I'm new at this. So you know what Solomon asked for? He asked for a hearing heart. A hearing heart. It is the will of God for every one of us to hear from the Lord, to be led by His Spirit, to receive the inner witness. As Brother Hagin calls it, the green light or the red light or knowing, having a knowing on the inside of exactly what to do. Such clarity, such clearness, such a confidence on the inside. That's for every one of us. That belongs to us. And the Lord said to Solomon, his answer to Solomon was, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, you didn't even ask for finances. He said, I will give you a hearing heart and I will give you wisdom like none other has had it before. I'll give you wisdom. And the first thing that he faced right after that were the two women that were bringing the baby. And he said, hand me a sword. Oh, there's that wisdom right there. Hand me a sword. And I'll show you what to do. The wisdom, the spirit of wisdom was working on the inside of him. Well, that same spirit of wisdom that was in him, that dwells on the inside of you. And if we take hold of it and we receive it and we act on our faith with it, we will find more and more and more that we will have that knowing and that confidence on the inside. Like Oral Roberts used to say, I know that 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 I know. I know. I know. And wisdom, we have to tap into the wisdom of God. In Proverbs 4, I'm going to read verses 5 through 13. Then we'll come back and comment on it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Proverbs 4, 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know, when you see the word wisdom, you can really substitute it for the word. The word. The word of God is the wisdom of God. And when we read our scriptures every day and we read through the word of God, that's where it becomes revelation to us. It speaks to us. It talks to us. So he's saying here in verse 6, forsake her not and she shall preserve you. Wisdom will preserve you. You'll know how to take care of yourself. You'll know how to do the things that you need to do and should do. It'll preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. She shall give your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory will wisdom deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, for the years of your life will be many through wisdom. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom, the way of wisdom, the way of wisdom. I preached on the wisdom of God in 2017, and that was the title of the message, The Way of Wisdom. And there's a little mini book that I wrote. Kenneth and Gloria heard me preach that Sunday, and they called me that afternoon and said, you need to write a book about that. So we got her done. I was reading it today. I read through my little book, The Way of Wisdom. So he's saying here that I've taught you in the way of wisdom, the ways of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you go, your steps shall not be straitened, or in other words, you'll not be hindered. When you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she, wisdom, the word, is your life. Wisdom is your life. The word is your life. Say, the word is my life.
The word is my life.
That's why I so enjoy being with Kenneth and Gloria and this ministry. The word of God is their lives. When I was taping with Gloria the other day, and you know, I bring my notes in there, but she has so much more to say. And I was sitting there listening to her, and all that word that's been deposited for over 50 years, that word is coming up and out of her. And she looked at me at one point during the taping, and she said, George, I love the word of God. I can tell. I can tell. Don't you love the word of God? Don't you love his word? Don't you appreciate his word? Well, it says here in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Principal thing means first in importance and your number one priority. Number one priority is wisdom. It's the principal thing. It's what you need. It's what you need to not only survive, it's what you need to thrive. And when you tap into the wisdom of God, you are going to see things and you're going to receive answers and direction for every single thing that you are facing. There is nothing that is so complicated, so unreasonable, that God on his throne has not heard before and solved. Nothing. There's nothing. You can go to him with whatever situation you have, and he will never go, oh my God. We've never handled this before. Angels, have you ever seen? No, we have never seen anything like this, of this kind before. No, no. He has the wisdom for you. He has the wisdom for you. Verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. I like that. The Passion Translation, wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. Revelation knowledge is what you need, so invest in it. The Septuagint in verse 8 says, build a fort for wisdom and she will lift you high. Build a place for the wisdom of God to be able to receive the direction and the answers. Wisdom sees every issue from God's perspective. Everything. Wisdom is God's answer to all that we face. Wisdom is God's answer to all that we face. Wisdom will unravel and untangle whatever mess we've gotten ourselves into. That's what wisdom will do for us. It is seeing what you're dealing with right now from God's perspective. How does he see it? How does he see you functioning? How does he see you operating in this particular thing? And I do that all the time. I look to him all the time for the myriad of things that are going on around here, things that are taking place not only in the ministry but with our families and all of that. I'm looking for the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is like a light that shine in a dark place. It directs us in the way that we should go. And if there is a Y at the road, and there's a sign that says wisdom this way and natural fleshly that way, I'm going that way. I'm going the way of wisdom. I'm going the way of wisdom. And wisdom will, it'll unravel. Well, if you've ever been fishing, when I was a kid, I used to go fishing with my grandfather. And he had all kinds of reels and poles, and what a collection that he had. This was saltwater fishing, big time fishing. I had an uncle who was a professional fisherman, commercial fisherman. And he used to win all of these awards and catch the biggest bass and all that kind of thing. And I remember as a kid when I would go fishing and they would teach me how to use the reel, but sometimes I'd throw the reel out there, and have you ever been fishing when that reel just got so tangled? It just flops in there, and then you spend an hour trying to unwind and untangle, and it seems like it's totally impossible. Well, that's the way some of our issues look. It looks so confusing, so tangled up. Family issues, so engulfed in emotion and strife. And as we look to the wisdom of God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? All of a sudden, that mess begins to straighten out. It begins to line up. It becomes straight again. And that's what the wisdom of God does for us, for you, for me. And whatever we've gotten ourselves into, I don't know about you, but there are some things that have happened in my life that have been my fault. It was my fault. The devil, he was just standing there laughing at me. It was my dumb fault that I did whatever it was that I did. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we can go to the Lord and repent. Father, I repent for that. I repent for making that decision or going that direction. And I'm asking you, Lord, to make this right. Make it right. Show me what to do. Give me your wisdom on it. And sure enough, every time he's done it, he's straightened out whatever I've gotten myself into. It's like, anybody ever watch Laurel and Hardy? That's another fine mess you've gotten us into. Well, there are some fine messes that we've gotten ourselves into. But the Lord is so faithful. He's like, I will show you how to get out of this. And you will come out on top. You will. I remember back several years ago walking through the building. I've told you about this. That I walked through that building. The building, some of it sat there for 10 years. And I'd walk through it. And I was the man of faith at one point. Then I walked in there one day and I wasn't the man of faith. I was like hitting myself in the head going, why did I build this monstrosity? We could have built whatever. Smaller, shorter amount of time. Why did I do this? And I was up there one day on the second floor, and I'm just looking from one end of that building to the other. And I said, I have created a lemon. And seriously, the Lord said, I will make lemonade out of your lemon. He knows. He knows those kinds of phrases. But I laughed when he said it. And you know, I was walking up there the other day. Dr. Tony was up there in his office. And I had a break in between meetings that I was having here in the church. And you saw me. I was up there walking around. You know what I was doing? I was walking around giving God thanks. I was going from room to room. The Lord took that building and gave it a purpose. And got it done starting in January of last year, finishing in October, in time for the classes to actually begin. There are things that had to be tweaked. The auditorium was done in October. And I just walked through it. And you know, I just thank God for his wisdom. The wisdom of God. And how faithful he is. And remembering the very spot where I was standing, where I said, I've created a lemon. And where he said to me, I'll make lemonade out of this. And I was just so grateful to him. He'll do that with you. Whatever you've done, if you have invested unwisely in some things. He'll get your money back sevenfold. He'll do it. He'll take care of that. Whatever mistake, he majors in our mistakes. He really does. He majors in getting us out of those things that we've gotten ourselves into. Does anybody have Amplified Bible here in the front row? Amplified Translation. Would you look Hebrews 4:16 in the Amplified Translation. He's so good to us. And that's why we have to. I've been thinking about you so much. I've just been thinking about you, praying over you. I'm so happy to see you tonight. The Lord is working tremendously on your behalf, doing amazing things, helping you, strengthening you. Two ladies right here, just lay your hands on her. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, for Suzanne, I thank you. I thank you for a manifestation of your goodness and your love and your compassion. And thank you that we all are looking forward to seeing our man of God in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Your face has just been coming up. It's been coming up to me. I'm so glad to see you. Let me see Hebrews 4 and verse 16. It says, let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. So you wrote in your Bible. When you mess up, get back on track. That's really good. Give her a hand. That's really good. Oh, man. Wisdom is the principal thing. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Be filled with His wisdom. Be filled up with the wisdom of God. In the King James Version in verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a scripture. To be filled with the knowledge of His will. Lord, what is your will for this situation? What is it that you want to do? That's what we've been praying. What is it you want to do? What's the will of God in this situation? And you're walking through it. And you're seeing it. And you're getting the wisdom of God. And that wisdom is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Be filled. The wisdom of God is really a demonstration of His love. Because when somebody sits down with you and you've got a problem and they begin to lay out before you, hey, look, here's an answer. That's the love of God being manifested forth. And that's what His wisdom is. It is a talk with the Father. A talk with our Heavenly Father. Imparting that fatherly wisdom into us. In the Amplified Classic Translation, that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. That is a great definition of the wisdom of God. Comprehensive insight into His ways and His purposes. That clearly defines what His wisdom is, the way of God. And that's what I want. That's what you want. I want His ways in my life. I want His ways in my family. I want His ways in our church, in the Bible school, in the ministry. I want His ways in your lives, your businesses, your work, the things that you do, the things that you're involved in. We spend a couple of hours together on Sunday. We spend an hour or so on Wednesday night. But then you go out there into your mission fields and you're doing your work and you're doing your business. And then we come back together again. But all during the week, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the wisdom of God for you. I'm praying for issues and things that you're facing and things that you are dealing with and things that are going on in your lives. And the Lord gives Pastor Terry and me divine appointments out there in stores, in gas stations, in different places. When you least expect it, there's Pastor George and Terry. But that's the wisdom of God. And in Proverbs 2, 6 and 7, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are right with him. So that wisdom has been laid up. It's been stored up for us. All we have to do is to tap into the wisdom. It's waiting for us. But we have to take it. We have to receive it by faith. And so I want to remind you of something that I've taught you before, but I want you to strike the phrase, I don't know what to do, from your vocabulary. Strike it from your vocabulary. And I'll give you something else to say. Because there are things that I need the wisdom of God on. And that's a better way to put it. I need the wisdom of God. But I'm retraining myself and retraining my thinking and to not. And that's what the Lord does with us, because we know the power of our words. And as we go along in our lives, there are more and more things that he shows to us, reveals to us, things that we say by rote, things that we say all the time. Like, you'll never hear me say, I'm going to say it now, but I'm not saying it about myself, but that blows me away. I don't want to be blown away. I mean, the Lord will show you things. He'll show you things that you say just repeating, and you don't even know you're saying it. And he'll bring it to your memory. He'll bring it to your thinking. And you can change that. Well, that's what he showed me. Don't say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What are you going to do about that? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What are you doing? You're building a fortress of I don't know what to do's on the inside. You're building a fortress of confusion. And that's not what we want to do. We want clarity. We want understanding. So when we strike that from our vocabulary, instead we begin to confess, I believe I receive the perfect wisdom of God. Say this after me. I believe
I receive
the perfect wisdom of God.
By faith,
I know exactly what to do. That's why I put that down on paper for you, so you can go back and you can read it and study it and really make that part of your declarations and the confessions that you make about yourself. I believe I receive the perfect wisdom of God. What about this situation over here? I believe I receive the perfect wisdom of God. By faith, I know exactly what to do. By faith, I know what to do. I know what to do. I see it. I receive it. I believe it. And the answers will come more quickly when you make that adjustment, a simple adjustment, because the wisdom of God has been stored up for you. It's been laid up for you. And the Lord will show you and reveal to you what we call the key issue. The key issue. What's the key issue to that particular situation? What's the key issue to this? There's a key issue. And oftentimes in our lives, there may be one key issue that will unlock the door to everything. One thing that you may be doing, one thing that's going on that needs to be adjustment, one adjustment. The key issue. What is the key issue? Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And look with me. I'll read this through, then we'll talk about it. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Boy, you can spend some time on that one, couldn't you? Woohoo! Ha ha ha! When stuff just seems to be going wrong, count it all joy. Whoa! Glory to God. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith puts patience to work. Patience. Let me read to you a couple of definitions. I have a collection of definitions that I've made over the years of patience. Just collected them from different speakers. But one of them was patience. It is the endurance that outlasts any assault. That's what patience is. The force of patience. Patience is not hunkering down until the storm passes over. That's not what patience is. Patience isn't just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. No, it is a force of the human spirit. It's the ability to act like you have it before you see it. That patience working down on the inside. Patience, it doesn't surrender to circumstances. It doesn't give up. It doesn't quit. It undergirds faith until the answer comes. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith puts patience to work. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When you're under attack, and that force of patience is put to work on the inside, you'll come out of it perfected, matured, entire, wanting nothing, whole in every way. And then it says here, if any of you lack wisdom. And I wrote in my Bible, if any of you lack wisdom about the trial and the temptation, or whatever it is you're going through, or whatever it is you're facing, or whatever it is, the challenges that you have around you, if any of you lack wisdom for that, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's an important scripture right there. If any of you lack wisdom in anything, anything, and if we were to take the time tonight and sit and talk with each and every one of you about the things that you are facing, we would keep coming back to this. If any of you lack wisdom about them, that let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given him. Put your hands out like this and say, I receive wisdom.
I receive wisdom.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I know exactly what to do. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not doubting, not hesitating. For he that wavers is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. When you doubt this, then you're like that wave driven. The devil drives. The Holy Spirit guides, leads, directs. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A single-minded, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, you can turn that scripture around, and when you ask in faith, nothing wavering, you're no longer like the wave of the sea driven with the wind, but you're strong, you're stable, you're fixed in the Word of God. And you will receive what you ask of the Lord, because a single-minded individual on the Word of God's wisdom is stable in all of his ways. Single-minded, focused, focused. When you are focused on the Word, when you are focused on the answer, when you are focused on the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome, it's going to work on your behalf. And you are going to be stable in all of your ways. There's a stability that is going to come out of walking in the wisdom of God. Stable in all things. I'm so grateful for the wisdom that he has for us. Answers, insights into the ways of God. Insights into the ways of the kingdom of heaven. Oh Lord, we want that for our lives. I want his ways. I want his direction. I want his input on everything that I do. Every conversation that I have, every decision that is being made, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I listen a lot to Brother Hagin and some of the teaching that he has on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And he talks about, you know, you really get to the place when you're doing something and you have this sense that you're washing your feet with your socks on. That's that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You're being directed by God to not do that or not to make that decision. And He'll help you. He'll direct you. He'll guide you. Oral Roberts once told Brother Copeland, when a ministry is facing a financial blockade, you must go before the Lord and locate the key issue, that key, or the wisdom of God that will unlock the door and get the finances flowing again. I have, what I carry with me, I carry a badge that unlocks doors. It's the key. And it would be very difficult for me to get into the executive building and into areas around here without that badge. But there is a key badge that I have that gets me into everything. It'll get me into every building on this property. It's the key badge. It unlocks every door. And that's just like the key issue, isn't it? The key issue will unlock the wisdom, the treasure of wisdom that is stored up for you. And you have that badge. You have the code, F-A-I-T-H. You have it. That's the code to get in to the wisdom of God. And so Brother Robert said that key or the wisdom of God will unlock the door and get the finances flowing again. This illustration that I used many years ago, Brother Copeland was experiencing joint pain. And he went before the Lord for the key issue. What is it? Claiming my healing, but what do I need to know about this? And the Lord said to him, quit drinking coffee. Brother Copeland, many years ago, being a pilot, would have a thermos, huge thermos. And he would drink 16 cups of coffee a day. And the Lord said to him, the key issue of it was stop drinking coffee. And when he stopped drinking coffee, the joint pain ceased. Wow. There's a key issue. There's a key issue that unlocks the door to everything that we face. And that's the wisdom of God. That's what we press into. And here I've listed before you on this point 3, 4, and 5. I've listed before you what Brother Roberts said to Kenneth Copeland when he was a student at ORU. And Brother Roberts was being driven by Brother Copeland to the meeting. And Brother Roberts would sit there with his Bible up to his face like this. And Brother Copeland was warned, you never talk to the man of God when he's going to a meeting. But one day he was reading something and he slammed his Bible down. He said, Kenneth, there are people that'll tell you you can't do it, but you have to follow these three things. And he started listing out what I listed to you. That was in 1967 when Kenneth Copeland was driving Oral Roberts to the meetings. In 1976, Terry and I had gotten engaged. I had taken her home to see the parents. We were students at ORU. And then we flew to Texas to meet her parents. And we ended up that time, Brother Copeland was going to fly us back to the campus at ORU. So during that flight, Kelly and Terry were sitting behind us, and I was up front with Brother Copeland in the right seat. And he turned to me, and he said, George, there'll be people that'll tell you that you can't do it. But he said, you need to do these three things. And I was scrambling for a pen and a piece of paper in the same way that Brother Copeland was trying to remember everything because he's driving. And so this is what the Lord said to Brother Copeland. This is what he said to me. Commit 1 to 3 days to pray about nothing else except God's wisdom concerning the issue that is causing the greatest amount of pressure. Now, Terry and I have done that. We've done that before. There are times when we have actually taken off and gone away for 3 days to pray about something. And answers always come. They always come. Now, sometimes you don't have the luxury of doing that. So what you have to do is adapt whatever you can. Maybe it's a lunch period, a lunchtime. And you take that lunchtime and maybe fast that lunch. and take the time before the Lord and just set that thing before Him. Bring that before Him. And it's very interesting sometimes how you'll bring something to Him, but it's not just that. It covers a lot of different things. And it may not even be that. It may be this. See, that's what comes. That's what comes when you're praying about something. And you're saying, that relative of mine, that relative of mine, and what they're doing to me and what they're saying to me. And you present that to Him, and He may present something back to you and say, well, actually, it's you. You're the problem. You're the one. Oh, yeah, don't want to hear that. But that's the wisdom of God. And what happens is something changes on the inside of you. So that when that something changes on the inside of you, then your attitude towards that individual will change. They won't be that mean, horrible individual anymore. You will have changed. That's what I'm saying. You get into places like this, and it really is an adventure in prayer and with the Lord, in hearing from Him and getting direction from Him. I love that direction. I love it when the Lord gives me direction about the ministry, about things that we're doing here. I was with Terry the other day, and boy, I saw it when it hit her. I believe we need to do such and such. Boy, my goodness. It was like an explosion in the room. What was it? That's the wisdom of God. And it dropped down on the inside of her to where it was like, okay, yeah, all right, that's what we need to do. It's time. We must do that. And that'll happen with you. But He's saying, commit time. You have to commit time to this. Turn off the television. Set the phone aside. And commit the time to get into His presence and pray out the plan in tongues. Pray out the plan in tongues. You know, I go through these periods of time where we're so busy with things going on. All of a sudden, the Lord will say to me, you've really slowed down on praying in the Spirit. Thank you, sir. I received that correction. And so I start praying in the Spirit. I took time today, it was rare for me to have as much time as I did. I took a lot of time today praying in tongues. Oh, it was so refreshing. It was such a blessing to me to be able to do that. That's what I'm saying to you right now is really an interpretation of what I prayed out in the Spirit this afternoon. Things that I'm saying to you, the way I'm talking to you right now, really is an interpretation of what happened today. I remember many years ago, we were facing a tremendous situation at Oral Roberts University. I was the chairman of the board at the time. And I mean, the school was going down really fast. Finances were drying up. And we had just hit a terrible, terrible place. And I remember we had a big board meeting that was going to take place the next day. So that evening, I went back to my room and I spent time praying in the Holy Ghost. And this is the way the Lord leads. This is the way wisdom leads. The Lord said, when you get the board together, and I'm talking about board members like Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, John Hagee, generals in the faith, and I'm the chairman of this thing. You get them all together, and before you start your meeting, you pray in tongues, and then believe me for the interpretation of tongues in that meeting. So when I gathered them all, and that came out of the night before when I was praying, the plan, it's the wisdom of God. So when I came in the next day, I had them all stand, and we just prayed in tongues together. And I made the declaration that what happens today is going to be a result of us praying in tongues. It will be an interpretation of that. And before the day was out, the Hobby Lobby Green family came to that meeting and dropped in our laps $7 million. And they made a proposal to us, which we eventually accepted. And they came in, they changed up the board and so forth and so on. And the school is doing amazing today. But we were on the verge. It was on the verge of closing its doors on that dark November day. But I prayed in tongues. and then came before the board because the Lord had wisdom. He had wisdom. And what that $7 million did, it kept our doors open through December. It got bills paid off. There was a lot of debt load that I had discovered. And one of the things that we prayed about was that the school would be completely out of debt. And it's completely out of debt. Completely out of debt. Now, I didn't get to go into the promised land, so to speak, but I was fine to leave. I was good. I was okay with it because I knew it was going in the direction that it needed to go. But that's just an example to you of what the Lord will show you in prayer, and then you be obedient to walking that out. Pray out the plan in tongues. God's wisdom comes out of the spirit realm. Praying in tongues is dipping the bucket down into the well of wisdom and knowledge and drawing that wisdom up. When I'm praying in tongues, and I'll be praying in the spirit for different reasons. If I'm physically tired in my body, I'll be praying for the refreshing, that I'll be built up and strengthened. If I need the wisdom of God, I'll pray in tongues for the wisdom of God. I'll pray in tongues if I'm going into a meeting, if I'm going into a situation that might be considered tenuous or difficult. I'll just pray in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, you take over this thing. And I see the plan of God unfold. You can do the same thing, whatever you're going through. And we're going to do that before we leave tonight. We're going to stand together and we're going to pray in tongues over whatever it is that's going on. And get the wisdom of God. So he said, pray out the plan in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:12, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, divine secrets, secret truths, and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Or what is that? The key issues. The key issues. Say this after me. I believe. I receive. The perfect wisdom of God. By faith. I know exactly what to do. You'll be amazed at how your year will end up. I prayed in tongues a lot this year, with us heading towards a $4.5 million deficit. I prayed in tongues a lot. And by golly, when we came to the 1st of December, we were no longer in that deficit, but we were on the positive side. And we began to grow and grow from there. And the church did the same thing. Spirit of increase is on us right now. I'm telling you, it's on us. The overflow. That's why when I was praying in tongues, the Lord led me to do that whole series on living in the overflow. I needed to hear it. I needed to feed on it, and so did you. And we're living on the overflow. We are blessed beyond measure. There's a lot to do, a lot of things going on here, a lot to take care of, but it's not an overwhelming problem because we know in whom we trust. Amen. He's going to help. He's giving us wisdom and giving you wisdom. Finally, Brother Roberts said to Brother Copeland, and then Brother Copeland said to me, pray until you know what to do. Pray until you know what to do. Don't make a move until you get wisdom. Don't let deadlines get you out of faith into worry. The answers will come. The answers will come. It'll look like the easiest thing that you've ever done. Find out what the will of God is. Find out what the will of God is. That's what Brother Roberts was telling Brother Copeland. That's what Brother Copeland said to me. Find out what the will of God is. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. You might want to write this down. Find out what the will of God is. And I just gave you keys to finding out the wisdom and the will of God. Find out what the will of God is. Then confer no longer with flesh and blood. And then he said, get your job done. At all costs. Get the job done at all costs. I want you to stand up with me if you would right now. And hold on to your paper because we're going to make this declaration of faith of the wisdom of God. You'll know what to do. You have the wisdom operating on the inside of you. It's there. It's there. We just need to tap into it. So first of all, I want us to do this. I want us to pray in the Spirit together. And those of you watching us, you do the same thing. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. And what we're doing is we are specifically praying in the Spirit for the wisdom of God. Now, Father, as we come before you in this time, we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and specifically to reach in and receive the wisdom of God. Now, let's pray in tongues together. Hori anamaka shakara. Idara basombara bashkati ala bramate levese keti aramasa saman. Ori ala bashakara dibra bakashtakora basasamra mokushtakara basasaman. Ariana namasambra megeshte keti arabasasamra bakashtakara tabra bakashtakara. Hanama sabra bakeshte keti arabasasamra ma. Ariala bakashtakara yatabasasabra bakashtakara basasaman. Inamate sidra gashta kitiya takarabasa sabra bakashta karabasa. Ariana maka sabra bokushta kurumusta simbre megiri de bushkati arabasa. Arama shakaramasa sabra makashta kedidi. Idabaramasa sabra makashta korabasa simbre megiri de bushkati arabasa. Alama shotoroko sabra makashta kidi arabasa. Hananama shakarabasa. We're praying about the wisdom. We're praying about the plan. Oriala makashte kiti arabasa samra makeshte. Oriana namasa brebedeshte kiti arabasa. Hana nanama sheke. Hila basa koria damasa brebedesh kiti di arabasa. Hana namanze brebedeshte kiti arabasa parabakashtaka. Hora masha koria sa samra makeshte kiti arabasa brabakashta. Hina nanamasa brabakashta. So you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. And then you go to the Word. You look at what the Word says. You look at what the Word declares. So say this after me. According to Colossians 1:9, I am filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. According to Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. According to 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus has been made unto me. Wisdom. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. According to Proverbs 2, 6 and 7. The Lord gives me wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. God has laid up sound wisdom for me. According to Ephesians 1:17, God has granted me a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. By faith, I believe, I receive the perfect wisdom of God. By faith, I know exactly what to do. Now let's give God praise and thanksgiving for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Tony, if you would please come. And let me mention something before Pastor Tony begins the dismissal process. I have to tell you, I made an error in the telling of that story. What happened, the first three things that I told you, Brother Copeland told me those things. Those were things Brother Roberts told him that came later. In the airplane is what Brother Copeland said to me about find out the will of God, confer no longer with flesh and blood, and then get your job done. So I needed to get that straightened out. I was I was living in two stories at the same time. And so I needed to correct that for you. Thank you for allowing me that privilege. Yeah. In the car, he said those three. Will of God. And yeah, that's what he said in the car. And said to me in the airplane. Then that other, though, that came at another time when he and I were sitting and talking about the debt situation that Terry and I were in. And that was the wisdom that he was giving to me. So I needed to straighten that out. Thank you for allowing me that correction. Dr. Tony, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Pastor George. Y'all get anything out of the message tonight? I think we've been set on track.